worse. You've got me here now.
That's so true.
You know, I'm a little bit out of it, so...
Good. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Hello, Joey, Joey, Joey.
All right, then. Hear ye, hear ye, all appearing before the court today of Royal Gossip Podcast.
Hello.
Please be upstanding.
No, it's too hot and I'm sitting right in front of the air conditioning and I don't want to stand.
The, I'm going to say, Honourable Kate appearing for the defence.
Yes.
Or are you a complainant? I guess it's to be discovered.
Oh, a little from column A, a little from column B.
Let's find out as we debrief you.
Excellent.
Alrighty. Again, there's just so much. I mean, we just have to dive in because I haven't got time for your shenanigans with what's going on. This week, there's just too much to cover. So before we go anywhere else, there is something that we were going to cover last week, and I was hoping wasn't true, so we forestalled it.
Yep.
Which is the news about the raven Merlina.
Oh.
Who has not been seen at the tower for several weeks now, and her continued absence has indicated that she may have sadly... I'm going to assume gone to live on a farm.
Yes, she may have wandered off and decided there were greener climates elsewhere. It's still possible. I mean, I know that I think her name was Newman, something like Newman.
Newman.
Yes, but when she went missing for about 2 weeks and she turned up at a private farm. I was just listening to Chris, who's the Raven Master. He has a guest appearance on the Moth Radio Hour podcast, and he was talking about when Newman went missing. But and this was just recorded last week. He couldn't bring himself to talk about Merlina. He didn't mention her name. He said nothing. So,
darling, talk us through the importance of the Ravens at the Tower.
Okay, so there is
the Tower of London, obviously.
The Tower of London, yes. So there's a superstition, shall we say, a belief, part of a ritual that they believe that when the crows, if there are less than six crows.
Ravens,
they're in the same family, I always get confused.
Are crows ravens or is a raven a crow?
They're from the same family, which the name of the family now escapes me, but...
Johnson?
Yes, that's it. The ravens are three times the size of your biggest crow in Australia. So they're massive birds.
Right.
Yes. And they've got quite a croak on them. It's like a... It sort of sounds almost primeval, I guess. But they're beautiful, beautiful birds. Anyway, the rumour is that the superstition is that you have to have at least six in the castle at any one time. Otherwise... the crown, the royal family, all of it will crumble and fall. And I'm not exactly sure when that belief started, but Queen Victoria certainly embraced it because she embraced the Victorian era, really embraced that Gothic tradition.
Yeah, they were very superstitious.
With you know the decked out funeral hearses with black plumes and really. Responsible for the excessive spending on funerals and so forth, because it absolutely was a status symbol to be able to afford your own plot in Victorian England due to the very large numbers of death, and they didn't, of course, have burial places, and you had to be buried in a churchyard, otherwise you were a pauper. So they always keep at least seven ravens in the tower to ensure that they, if something happens to one, that they have at least six.
Right.
And I thought that they were caged up all the time and just let out on occasions, but no, they actually now let them out during the day and then they put them home to roost at night time. And Merlina was actually someone that was a raven that they found at a local pub. So she wasn't born on the crown site. So she sort of came into their lives. And left again. But she was very, very tame. And I saw a lovely tribute video that somebody put up to her for her that was taken on the 20th of December last year, where she was trying to get Chris's attention while he was giving his speech. And I've actually been there and taken a tour with him, and he's hilarious. And she kept coming up to him going, hello, hello, and squawking. And when he wouldn't pay her attention, she came around and nipped him on the leg. Through his pantaloons and finally got his attention, and he turns around and he goes, oh, I'll have you, and she's like, ah, ah, and everyone's laughing, so he wasn't able to maintain a straight face. So,
well, I'm sure that she's decided to retire and go live on a farm.
Well, that's what we all plan to do, isn't it?
Well, that's
anyway, so that's very long-winded. Merlina was lovely, and I watched her videos all the time. She's just a real character.
So let's move on to a more fun topic like depression.
Oh, dear.
So starting, of course, with Her Majesty the Queen and Prince Philip, who we saw naught of this week, but they were doing a lot of twatting through the person of the royal family's tweeting account.
Okay.
Basically about various different charities, but they were all about Blue Monday.
The band? I didn't think she was into that sort of hip-hop culture. I suppose it's retro pop culture now, isn't it?
Well, I don't know who you're talking about so clearly. Blue Monday is what, and this is a terrible idea, I'll say from the outset. They've decided that Blue Monday, and I think it's either the second Monday of the year or whatever, the first Monday where most people go back to work, they've determined is the most depressing day of the year.
I thought it was Tuesday. We used to be called in Sydney, and I apologise for this to our listeners, Top Yourself Tuesday after Mardi Gras, because that was when the eckies started to wear out of your system. And it was when the most...
I can understand that definitely
was
being a thing.
No, in all seriousness, it was the highest number of depressive episodes, people leaving jobs, partners, killing themselves, like dreadful.
Well, I don't care for Blue Monday. I mean, no. To me, why even put this in people's heads? I don't think this is very helpful, but they were pointing out Childline, which is something put on by the NSPCC, which I'm going to say is the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. They have a child line, which is for young people struggling with their mental health. The Royal Parks got in and wanted to talk about their online resources, saying that one thing that can de-stress you is learning about nature, which I think is drawing a pretty long bow.
No, there is a there absolutely is a theory. I don't know if there's learning about nature. I think taking a walk in nature, but... Also, a 15-minute walk anywhere will lift your mood because it's actually, you know, fires up your dopamine. But the thing that we forget here, I mean, we look out of Studio De Foley out onto trees all around us and greenery. We don't hear your neighbours and there's space. The place the studio is, this would be a huge lounge room for them, and they certainly wouldn't have views of trees. So I think... There is a thing, I guess, in London that you might go...
Oh, right. Most people's homes are... Sorry, this sounds really judgmental, but they are tiny and pretty depressing.
They're tiny. They have no backyards. Even the posh places have tiny little backyards. I mean, one of our friends over there lives in a very posh suburb, and their house backs onto the train. And their backyard 3/4 of the year is just mud.
I always notice I love binging those British shows, but one of my favourite is How Clean Is Your House, where those two old tarts come and judge someone who's a hoarder, and then they send in a team to clean the house. But every time they clean the house, and then they all get in the lounge room that isn't big enough to swing a dick in, and say to them, look, you've got a massive lounge room here. And I'm like, what? You couldn't fit a loaf of bread in there.
Yeah, we're very spoiled.
Spoiled and lucky.
And I know that... when Americans go across to England that they're always a bit shocked about the small size of the hotel, to the point now that they have to leave notes to incoming people to say, look, don't leave us a bad review because of how small they word it better than I'm doing right now. But
sure, but
don't judge
us
on how tiny our room is. Yeah. You know, this is standard for England. So I can understand why they try to encourage people out into the parks.
Yes, and they retweeted various mental health charities that they're patrons of, Mind, the mental health charity, and the Samaritans got in there somehow talking about organising a virtual cuppa with friends or family if you're stuck at home.
Well, you think about
I forget
that.
They're all still locked down.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, 99 times out of 100, you don't want to see your actual family. Why would you want to get on a Zoom call and have a cup of tea with them?
Well, you can hang up or pretend that...
Sorry, what's that red light? Hang on,
you're breaking up. I'm going into a tunnel. Meanwhile, Prince Charles and the Duchess of Cornwall kicking goals as always.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Charles was very excited because, of course, it was Red Squirrel Appreciation Day.
Is that a code for something I should know?
No, it isn't. He isn't secretly having an affair with Fergie. It's a different kind of red squirrel.
What's wrong with grey squirrels? Sorry, I'm doing some whataboutism. What about the rights of grey squirrels?
What about, because I believe the red squirrels are the native squirrels.
They are, and the grey squirrels are considered pests. But
immigrant squirrels who come over and take the jobs of good English squirrels.
They are so cute, though. If you've ever been at a park, they're absolutely fearless, and they'll come running up to you and beg for food. They are so unbelievably cute.
Well, it said here that Prince Charles would put nuts in his pocket, and squirrels would come and take them out.
Yeah,
I just want to say, well, don't leave your fly undone. That could be a really nasty incident. But, yes, he had written to the Squirrel Trust, which is a thing, to thank the charity for fighting for the red's survival, which I think mainly is keeping up with enough British trees that they rely upon. So without the trees, ain't no squirrels. So that was something that Prince Charles was very excited about. And as we know, he's always been a big fan of the red squirrels. And if you Google that, he's standing next to a variety of different idiots in squirrel costumes over the years.
Oh, my God. I'd be a bit concerned. Oh, no, I've got the safe filter on at home. I just worry about what happens.
Well, you should, because you know.
Well, what if he's
we don't want bad influences coming to you from the internet.
I wonder if he's into red ferrets.
The Duchess Reading Room was launched on Instagram. So she's launched an account to basically keep up with her reading room, which, as we know, is just a book club.
Mm-hmm.
And she's recommended some books that I'm sure are uplifting. I'm never going to read them. Who knows? I bet they're unbearable.
Where she launched this on?
Instagram.
Oh, okay.
So good for her. But they haven't been terribly busy because they managed to tweet a picture of a year ago where Camilla, in her role as Chancellor of the University of Aberdeen, presented her sister-in-law, Princess Anne, the Princess Royal, with an honorary degree in recognition of her service to public life. So Princess Anne is such a hard worker, she's a doctor of it.
Oh, wow.
So good for her.
Oh, okay. So here are the titles, if we're interested, of the Duchess's Ring.
Sure, why not? Absolutely.
So The Mirror and the Light by Hilary Mantel, who, as we know, did the Cromwell series of books.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Bringing Up the Bodies. No, there was a whole show on it.
Oh, I believe you.
Yeah. Oh, you've not watched that. Okay. Where the Crawdads Sing by Delilah Owens. Restless by William Boyd. And The Architect's Apprentice, Alif Shafak.
You're fucking kidding me.
I just knew as soon as I said that.
Well, I look forward to reviews of all those books from you next week, Catherine.
Oh, I mean, yes. God, you're a bastard.
I mean, you're a professional book reader. Surely you can read a book in a day.
Oh, God, yes, I can. All right.
Moving on. Okay. I don't really care. Their Royal Highnesses, Edward and Sophie, the Earl and Countess of Wessex.
Happy birthday, Sophie.
Yes, happy birthday to the Countess. And like all of us, we won't mention the number because what does that matter?
Well, that's right. I mean.
The Countess was also very happy this week because her 89-year-old father has received his COVID vaccine.
Oh, so I didn't realise he was still alive.
Yes, he's still with us, so there you go. Obviously, one of her very thankless charities, she joined the Centre for Women, Peace and Security with their webinar, talking about the preventing of sexual violence in conflict.
Yes, and that's been a long-fought battle, that one.
And you, of course, realise with all of the challenges in the world, like all complex problems, it's that only now with the coronavirus as well.
Mm.
So everyone's meeting, you know, got new challenges in everything that they're trying to achieve. What vaccine are they getting in England, darling? Is it the Oxford?
It's the Oxford.
Which is the less reliable one. The one that now nobody wants. The one that our dumbfuck Prime Minister purchased too much of.
Well, there's the AstraZeneca vaccine. There's the Moderna vaccine. And I did get a bit confused this week because it's the Pfizer one that's causing the... Well, sorry, I was going to say causing problems. Causing concern because that's the one that apparently we are going to get some of that was implicated in the deaths of 33 Norwegian elderly folk.
I'm not taking this fucking vaccine. What the hell is going on?
we're not doing an anti-vaccine. Look, they're still investigating it, and this is the thing that I remarked upon on Facebook when everybody just lost their absolute bundle because I was sharing information in my Twitter format, which was as less characters as possible, but when I said investigations are still ongoing, I assumed that my readers on Facebook would understand that I was not drawing any conclusions, that I was sharing the information and saying, also, this is not the vaccine we're getting in Australia. Well, I forgot that nothing Facebook bored Facebook people like more than a pylon. So, yes, the Oxford vaccine is the one that is technically less reliable, but they... If you want more information about it, the best place to go to start with is the Dr. Norman Swan's podcast, which is the Corona podcast. But they did discover with the Oxford one, interesting fact, they inadvertently gave a group of younger people in the trials a lower dosage, and they actually had better results. And the theory is that because it's based on a chimpanzee virus that they used and they administered to these people as a smaller dose. When they hit them with the larger dose next time, their body had formed only a slight immunity to the actual chimpanzee virus and they were able to hit it full on. So you got a 92% efficacy out of that group. But that was a mistake in the trial and it was random and they haven't repeated it. So we don't know if giving two doses of the same amount is going to be less effective than giving a smaller dose in the first instance and hitting a bigger dose in the second instance.
Right.
If that makes sense. But
yeah, so you heard it here, people. Kate says that the... Which one? I'm so confused.
So the AstraZeneca one is the Oxford one.
Basically, Kate's saying the vaccine is a mutant monkey disease that you should avoid and take your chances with the COVID.
No, what I am saying...
Lock it in, Eddie!
What I'm saying for the Australian listeners is we don't have to worry for a little while. We can see how it goes. What I will say is if you are in America or if you are in the UK and you are taking your elderly parents or elderly relatives or friends to get their vaccination, try to book towards the end of the day because when they have no shows... because the vaccine is in a ampule that has about six doses, I believe, if people don't show up, they have to throw the vaccine out. They can't put it back into the fridge.
Oh, I see.
So you will they offer it to carers and helpers who come along if the elderly folk don't show up for some reason.
Like going to the pie shop in the afternoon.
Yes. So a number of people I know, a number of carers and family members have received their vaccines, even they're not in the original group, because you've got a very short window to use those vaccines in, and they basically just give them out at the end of the day. So that's a tip if you get a chance to take somebody.
Oh, good. Well, the Countess was joyous that her father had one. Mm-hmm. She was talking to the NHS general practice nurses and healthcare assistants at their Lincolnshire conference, so well done to her, mm-hmm. which I assume was in no way a physical conference, as I saw her on a video call, so I assume okay. that's all it was. So, good for her. Moving on, of course, to the light of our lives and inspirations, bless their little cotton socks, their Royal Highnesses, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge.
Is she talking about her hair extensions? She has new hair extensions in.
I thought her new hair looks cute. It's sort of flattened down and slicked.
Yeah. I like the curlier option, but, yeah, you know, I'm on board for the long ones as well.
But I like how that hair extensions is enough for you to object to her as a person somehow in her particular case.
No, as we
continue. You're very hung up on the hair extensions.
As Karen will say, stop going on about it. No. It's just because that's the only thing that the royal family ever felt was necessary to rebut, that she'd had hair extensions.
Allegedly.
And, like, who cares? 95% of women in Hollywood have hair extensions.
Most people are wearing a wig, but we've already talked about that. The Duke and Duchess were on a call with capital letter B, terrible name, for the bereavement services for frontline workers, mm-hmm. which...
Sorry, it was actually capital B.
Yeah, that's what they call it. B is their bereavement service.
Okay.
I believe it's part of the NHS.
Okay.
But it's basically a bereavement service for any frontline workers because you inevitably... lose people in terms of your clients, and even people who are, I was going to say comfortable with death, that's ridiculous, but accustomed to it happening.
Yes.
You're losing friends, colleagues, family, plus the people that come in. I mean, a bereavement service for frontline workers will be tough at the best of times, but now with what's happening,
shocking.
It's impossible to think of. So the Duke and Duchess were on a call with them. And the Duke also had another video call with first line responders and was paying tribute to frontline workers. And that was where he mentioned that he was proud of how his grandparents had got the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cute. I assume they've had their second jab by now. I don't know what the time between it is.
Yeah, they probably haven't.
I'm constantly calling upon you for medical opinions because I pay no attention.
No. I think there's a bit longer time period before they have their second dose. So,
and another service promoting Hospice UK, which is a support line for NHS care sector staff or emergency service workers that is there for them.
Okay.
So good for them. And the Duchess herself, as patron for Nursing Now, has spoken to nurses at the university hospitals of Coventry and Warwickshire about the pandemic and why their profession is so important. I just think a bit of support for them to their association. Give them all a bit of support, which they terribly need. The only thing that confused me about the old Cambridges is that the Queen offered them the use of Sandringham House as an office to make these video calls. Why couldn't they just make? Why do they have to go to Sandringham to make video calls? Could they? I'm sure they've been doing them from home. Why wouldn't they just keep doing that? I mean, I know they've got kids, but it's not like a house where you can't stop them banging on the door while you're trying to make a video call.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
Well, Sandringham, I would assume, is probably more regularly updated with software updates and better Wi-Fi reception and.
Oh, at a time where they're probably not exactly the most technically au fait, and nothing's going to induce you to have someone come to the house and set things up. You're much better off.
Could you imagine
going somewhere else? I guess
we don't want people to come and visit when there isn't COVID around.
I don't like you now.
That's all right. I don't like me either.
Not at all. It's ridiculous. Yes. So well done to them for keeping busy. They are absolutely fantastic. And that's the Royal Family Roundup.
Oh, come on.
But I suppose we better get on to some former members of the family and what they might be up to. I speak, of course, of their not royal highnesses, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex.
They are royal highnesses.
No, they're not. They're not allowed to use it anymore.
No. They actually are. They said they wouldn't.
Well, they can't. Well, they're not using it.
They're not using it, so I don't have
to say it. What's using it if not making me say
it? They are HRHs. They've just said they're not going to use it.
Which means I don't have to say it anymore. That's what using it is.
You said they're not royal highnesses. They are still royal highnesses.
Oh, fuck them. No, I've gone too far. Let me back it up. Let's not ratchet it up to a 10 because there's a lot to say about them. Prince Harry was supporting Peak Fortum, which is an Australian organisation who is a bereavement service for frontline workers. Oh, well, a good idea is a good idea, I guess.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
What? It is. I mean, I think it was a good idea that he also did that.
Oh, so if we're going to go on about people copying other people, can we just talk about how the fact that the Duchess of Cambridge keeps stealing all of Meghan's wardrobe?
I said good for him.
In a tone.
I did. This is my only tone.
Go on, Joey.
And somebody did point out, not exactly about Duchess Meghan, but I thought it was interesting, that the First Lady now, Dr. Professor Biden, wore a dress that a little bit, obviously it wasn't like Meghan's wedding dress, but it was in the sense that she wore a dress that was embroidered with the flowers of every U.S. state and territory.
Yes.
And that reminded me of Meghan's veil.
Flowers
from all the Commonwealth countries.
Yes, and also her state of California, the California poppy, and something to do with England. But I can't remember what the English one was.
I'm going to go a Tudor rose or something, maybe, surely.
Yeah, it was something to do, I think, maybe with the area that Harry's dukeship was in. No, I'm not sure, but I remember it was California poppy and all the flowers for all the Commonwealth countries. But yes, that wasn't missed by anyone on Twitter, I don't think. They all noted that. It was very lovely.
I think the state bird of Sussex is a dead crow with a fag in its mouth, but I'll check up on that one. Very classy area. Just kidding. Jokes.
God, you're bad.
All right. Let's just get to the main topic because it's blowing my fucking mind what's going on.
I don't think anyone knows, so we're just going to dive into the confusion.
You're going to explain this to me.
All right.
So there's been an exodus of staff from the palace, let's face it, in the last few months when you put it all together, especially considering these are roles that are considered to be prestigious and basically people only ever get promoted. No one ever leaves. You leave by dying.
Or being found in the Queen's underwear.
I don't know who I just pictured in the Queen's underwear, but it wasn't good. So Chris Shipp from ITV called it out in a tweet. He said it was a clear out. And then within minutes, he panicked, deleted that tweet and rephrased it in a less dramatic way.
But this is the internet and it's always there forever on the internet.
Sure, but that pointed out to me that he's a team player with the palace because they obviously didn't like that, got onto him toot sweet, and he changed it, meaning you're never going to hear anything from him that doesn't suit the palace and that that's he's a hack.
Yep. Which is disappointing because he does like to present himself as a free thinker and someone who's willing to challenge stuff. But when he did that, that really was sort of the final straw for me with him because I just thought you're not allowed on your own account to question what's going on. I just thought that was ridiculous.
So what he's referring to is the departure of Christian Jones, who was Prince William's closest aide and his private secretary. All those titles blow my mind, especially when they all switch them all around. But that follows quickly after Julian Payne, who was Prince Charles's spin doctor for 5 years, also leaving him. I don't know that those two are necessarily related. That doesn't add up to an exodus to me. The only way in which I knew Christian Jones was, of course, the story months ago, Molegate, where it was inferred in the press that Kate's favourite correspondent, Dan Wooden, at The Sun, paid Christian Jones's partner, who is a publicist, Callum Stevens, £4,000, not enough money, to get information out of him. And everybody denied this at the time.
Mm.
If Christian Jones was the palace mole, obviously either the Cambridges didn't believe that and or approved of it because they went on to not only keep him but promote him and basically put him in charge.
Yes.
Meaning that they either condoned Molegate or didn't believe that Christian was responsible for Molegate.
Mm.
Prince Harry has sent a lawyer's letter to The Sun alleging that this happened. So it is not just a rumour, it's a thing that Prince Harry obviously very much believes happened for reasons that we don't know, not being privy to the actual letter itself. So if he is the mole and has now been fired way after the point, they either suddenly realised he was lying and that he was the mole, or this has nothing to do with Molegate. How am I doing so far?
That's very good. I take it we're going to get for the other possible reason that this has happened now.
Excellent. Well.
All right, so I won't jump in ahead then. I'll let you go.
First, my point about that. If you hire a publicist, they are not sneaking around by your back planting stories about you. Planting stories in the press about you is their job.
That's right.
That is what they've hired you to do. If he decided that he would help them out by making Meghan and Harry look bad, in other words, is this a case of a lot of these publicists are merciless and they only care about their client.
That's right.
It's not impossible that their publicists could say, well, I'm going to make another royal look bad to make my royal look good.
Yes.
And I'm not going to go and ask them if that's what they want, because part of being a publicist is that plausible deniability that everybody plays with. So it's entirely possible that Christian Jones could have been releasing information about Harry and Meghan off his own bat, thinking that he was Cambridges.
I'll grant you
possibility.
That. Possibility.
On top of that, as I say, everyone's a publicist. Everyone's talking to everyone. Everyone's planning stories with everyone. Here a mole, there a mole, everywhere a mole mole.
Why do you look at me?
There is no one involved in this situation who isn't some kind of mole.
Yes.
So once the mole finger pointing starts, where does it molely end? So we have that. So, of course, initially he worked for both the Cambridges and the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. But as tension built between the boys, he obviously decided to go with the Cambridges, or ended up with the Cambridges, as you would, because they're the main show.
Mm.
In other words, if you're a career person,
and you want
to
stay in
English,
I'm going
to stick with the line of succession. I'm not going to side with Meghan and Harry over the whole family. As someone who just works there, why would I?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't need a personal agenda against them to not necessarily be ready to jump in the boat and start rowing for them. But what Kate's talking about is Meghan's court case with the newspaper, the releasing of the letter to her father. Why do we think that has something to do with Christian Jones leaving? Because earlier on Tuesday, Mr. Jones was named in court as being one of four royal aides who will be asked to give evidence in Meghan's case against Associated Newspapers over the publication of a letter she wrote to her father, Thomas Markle Sr. Having found that he's going to have to go to court, I don't know why that would make him quit, and I don't know why that would make them fire him. because how does that make fix anything, really?
Mm.
But the publisher's barrister, Anthony White QC, told the court that in a letter from lawyers representing the so-called Palace Four, that they would be able to shed some light on the drafting of Meghan's letter to her father. So, it's the newspaper that's called four courtiers to come and testify as to the case.
Mm.
But they seem to be intimating through their lawyers that they don't have an interest on either side, but would be able to shed some light onto the situation. What the fuck does that mean?
Yes, I've wondered about that because I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the argument the newspapers are advancing is that the publicity department that looked after William and Kate and Meghan and Harry advised Meghan to write a letter and to run the drafts past a particular person in the media department, and they told her to tweak it and then she rewrote it, which seems, my understanding from a quick cursory glance over the court documents is that they hadn't actually produced any electronic mail, any email to verify that there was a backwards and forwards about this. There's no copies of that. There's no copies of the letter that was, there wasn't an email from her to him and him tweaking it for then her to print it out and write it, or indeed any emails with him discussing it with her.
Yes. So in the hopes of making this clear, which I haven't managed to do for myself, the Palace Four is Christian Jones, Prince William's close aide who's just queered, Jason Canaff, who was the former communications secretary to the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, and two other members of the household, Samantha Cohen, who was the Sussex's private secretary, and Sarah Latham, who was their former director of communications.
And now works for Queen Elizabeth.
Yes. So Jason Canaff, the former communications secretary, is the one that the newspaper claims was involved in the wording of Meghan's letter.
Mm.
So the Palace Four say, through their lawyers, well, it's the lawyer speaking, none of our clients welcome his or her potential involvement in this litigation, which has arisen purely as the result of the performance of his or her duties in their respective jobs at the material time. What other kind of time is there? This is particularly the case given the sensitivity of, and therefore discretion required in, their particular roles in the household. Nor do any of our clients wish to take sides in the dispute between your respective clients. Our clients are strictly neutral. So this is the Palace Four saying they're neutral between the Sussexes and the newspaper. They have no vested interest either way. The letter continued that their lawyer's preliminary view is that one or more of our clients would be in a position to shed some light on three key areas, which they list as. So in other words, this is the Palace Four's lawyers saying that they can shed light on the creation of the letter and the electronic draft, whether or not the claimant anticipated the letter might become public domain, and whether or not the claimant directly or indirectly provided information to the authors of Finding Freedom. So now we get to the point of how this relates to the lawsuit.
Mm.
Basically, what the newspapers are hoping these guys will provide is proof that they were involved in the letter initially, that she anticipated that it would become into the public domain, and that she participated with the authors of Finding Freedom, who we of course know are Omid Scobie and Carolyn Duran.
Right.
And I say, of course she did all those things. All of that happened. Number one, the creation of the letter and the electronic draft.
Mm.
I'm very...
If that exists, because we haven't seen it.
Sure. But their argument is basically they're trying to infer that the letter was in any way already public domain or something that they didn't reveal, I guess is what they're trying to drive at, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very confused by this.
Well, just very quickly, if I can sum it up. If you write something, it doesn't matter whether you send that to somebody else. Like, if Meghan wrote, say, a book and sent it to someone to preview, she still owns the copyright
yes.
of that book. People can give her feedback. People can say, you spelt that wrong. She still owns the copyright of that novel or the book or their manuscript.
Yes. A guy put it that when you send someone a letter, they own the letter, but as the author, you still own the contents.
Mm.
Now, just to stick on the creation of the letter part,
mm.
say what you will about Meghan. The very idea that she would need assistance writing a letter
yes.
is crazy.
Yeah.
I can't picture her being very keen to run her personal letter between her and her father through anyone.
No.
And if it would, it would be a lawyer, not courtiers, to help her properly word a letter to her father.
Mm. which I'm sure she's written letters to him in the past, and she's written her own speeches for, gosh, at least the last 10 years.
And I don't understand, even if they helped her write the letter, where that gets the son in terms of off the hook for having published it.
I think they're trying to argue that so many people have seen it that she can't possibly claim copyright of it because she published it in other formats. They genuinely don't understand. Or sorry, let me backtrack. They know that they don't own the copyright. They know they didn't have permission to publish it, and they are throwing every possible permutation of the rules at the judge to obfuscate and confuse.
On to part two, whether or not the claimant anticipated the letter might come into public domain.
I don't understand this bit.
There cannot have been 1% of her who thought that. When she sent, this was a statement to the public, because when she sent her father this letter, she knew goddamn well the next place she was going to see it was on the front page of The Sun.
I can't.
Or Sun paper, you get what I meant. Like, there is absolutely no fucking way he was not going to sell that letter to someone.
And I don't comprehend this unless she thought for some reason, because it was a quote-unquote private communication between the two of them, that he wouldn't do that.
I mean, it's basically a state of the union from her. It's basically a you're to blame and I'm not, which I don't say is unfair or anything, but it's a massive long statement that she got to put out into the public and not bear the brunt of why you're sharing this with everybody.
See, from my dealings, and I am a bit older than Megan, but from my dealings with narcissists, you don't do something like that that they can throw back in your face. You have to walk away and just not give them any fodder to play being the victim. And there wasn't any way she could have written any letter to him that wouldn't have ended up on the front page. But
no, so I'm with the Sun on this one, that she created that letter for it to become public knowledge, because why would you send something you 100% know is going to become public if you don't hope for it to become public? And if it, and this would be one where I would say for the Sun, if we hadn't done it, are you telling me it would have remained a secret forever? Someone else would have bought it.
I think the problem with this is, though, that you can't use intent, I don't think, with copyright laws. Like, at the end of the day, she still owns it. She hasn't signed
it. Are her intentions meaningless?
In terms of, like, if she hasn't given permission. And that's what I mean about they're trying every aspect of this.
Well, yeah, that's their goal. Yeah, I mean, the lawyers for the Sun, they would be just throwing anything they can possibly think of as a Hail Mary,
because
right?
There is, if you think about it, if you haven't really truly come to terms with the fact of having such a dreadful parent or person in your life, and I know this about, you know, dealing with narcissists, you do think that you are going to finally get I've been the jerk moment from these people, until you understand what you're dealing with. And I don't know what goes on in her head, but I genuinely believe if she thought he was going to walk her down the aisle and she spent a fortune on suits and clothes and everything for him.
Yeah.
And that actually has been proven, and the clothes have turned up elsewhere on somebody else. And he said, I bought Thomas Markle's clothes. She obviously thought he was going to do this, so she still had some hope of a relationship. And the fact that she sent this stuff to him shortly after the wedding means that maybe she didn't have time to process just how truly dreadful he was and that he was going to sell her out. Maybe she thought he would feel guilty for not showing up, which implies that he's capable of feeling guilt or remorse or anything.
I think she'd be pretty bloody naive to expect any sort of epiphany out of him at this point.
At this point, yes. Back then, after the wedding, like if she was going to, my point is, if she was going to invite him to the wedding, and she clearly had, his name was on the order of service, and she spent a fortune on clothes, she obviously thought he could conduct himself with some sort of degree of decorum in public.
I mean, even if nothing else, she'd want to use him for the wedding because it was bloody embarrassing to have him not be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And raised a number of questions she didn't want raised.
Mm.
These people, the Palace Four, they're basically saying, we'd like to come forward and shed light on this. If they're not coming forward to help Meghan, they're coming to help the newspaper, correct? And they're coming to help the newspaper? This is where I'm confused.
Well, I would have thought that it would have had
I mean, the newspaper are calling them to testify. They obviously like what they're going to say.
Well, how would they know, though, yet? Because they wouldn't have released anything to them, the newspapers yet, one imagines, and they would have terms of confidentiality, non-disclosure agreements that they would have to sign to work with the royal family. So I would imagine that they're probably sorting out what they can talk about and what they haven't signed away their rights, because at least one of them is still working for the royal family.
Well, the problem with the ecosystem is, if you're a publicist, beginning a lifelong feud with one of the major newspapers is not on your horizon. And I think that you could say, in other words, is this a grand plot against Meghan and Harry that's been orchestrated from the top in Kensington Palace, no names, and now they're sending out their courtiers to squash Meghan's lawsuit mercilessly?
They have been,
because that's the general theory point, right?
Yeah, and they have been trying for a very long time to get them to settle or to make this go away, because, you know, it's going to be devastating publicity-wise no matter how it goes for the royal family. Either Kensington Palace helped destroy Meghan, which is going to be like shit, or Meghan and Harry took this on. And the thing that makes me think there is some claim to, there is some validity to Meghan and Harry's claims, is that Harry is on board with this. Harry has sent a letter. He wouldn't have taken this on if he thought there wasn't some serious abuse going on here that had happened.
I don't think talking Harry into something's a real high standard. I mean, he's hardly a rocket scientist.
He's very honest, and he's very, very committed to not, you know, not continuing the lies in the media. So I think, I just can't see that he would take this on board if he thought it was a loser. Maybe it will be, but
it could be. It doesn't take the Cambridges plotting for them to not want to get into an acrimonious relationship with the son.
Oh, no, absolutely.
For right or wrong, William is definitely heard on the side of, you be nice to me and I'll fucking be nice to you with the newspapers.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I agree.
The Sussexes are determined to be a turd in that punch bowl by having this lawsuit.
Mm.
The Cambridges, regardless, don't want this lawsuit. They don't want a bad relationship with the press. They want to keep it as nice as possible and not burn bridges. The people on Twitter saying that now that this is a massive plot against Meghan, I go, this is her lawsuit. Mm. She instigated the fucking thing. Are they such masterminds they can get her to instigate plots against herself? I mean, calm down, people.
No, I think what they're saying is that the plot came from the leaking of the letter in the first instance, not the fact that she's doing the lawsuit. But I would say that the lawsuit was probably Harry's idea, and I think that that was the final go fuck yourselves to the royal family. Like, we are going to sue and we are going to go through with this, and we don't care about having a relationship anymore with the media. I mean, as Harry remarked this week, he said, oh, we woke up this week to discover that apparently we've been on social media for the last 10 months, which we haven't, and that we're not coming back to social media, which we never said.
And look, of course people are talking to, it's the Daily Mail. I think I said the Sun before. I'm getting excited. Yeah, the Mail, you know, obviously they're going to report on the royal family. Mm. Could Meghan have anticipated that they would call these courtiers and drag people into the suit and bring the whole ugly family situation into the light? She would have had to have. And I go back to, what did she actually hope to achieve out of this lawsuit?
Maybe she just, I mean, you know, I've seen these things happen before when you go, look, I'm in the right, and you know that you're in the right, and you think that that's enough to sort of put yourself through this. And I think that the Sun obviously felt, or sorry, the Daily Mail felt that if they just dragged this out and kept fighting, that eventually they'd give up and walk away. But I think it's a matter of principle now for Harry that he's just had enough of these fuckers. And I suspect it will go to the full court thing, because it's very clear that the Sun wants, so the Mail reporters want it to go to the full court.
Oh, they want it because they're only going to learn more and have more to report.
Absolutely.
Which is how it's going to backfire on Meghan, and was always going to backfire.
I think she would have seen that that was coming. I mean, like, her lawyers are a very, very smart team, and they would have gone through this. I know from, you know, with the connections that I have, when you start these things, they say you need to understand anything connected with this is going to come out. And you got to know, there's no way that Megan would have been able to marry into the family if she had a single skeleton in the closet. They would have gone through there with a fine-tooth comb.
Well, they feel that they're the aggrieved ones. I think that Meghan and Harry wanted brought out into the light. They want people to see publicly what the family did to them and who was to blame, and to it's a revenge action on the it's a further revenge action on the family.
I don't see. Oh, look, people do feel aggrieved when things are said against them. It is for me. Like, I looked at it at the time and said, "Why do you want to make this an issue? Like, there are so many things that are so much worse than this, but maybe this was the one that they thought they had the most success of winning because it was such a, for them, a clear cut and dried issue on copyright. But it,
yeah, I mean, I can't.
If you were going to walk away, for me, the thing would have been, I'm going, that's it, not going to do anything more with you.
Yeah, move on with your life.
Any of these sorts of protracted litigations are just draining emotionally. I mean, I get that financially that they're okay, but it is an emotionally exhausting experience to have to go through, and you are just creating more media. So if Harry's hope is that this is going to discredit the Daily Sun or the Daily Mail, it's not going to work. Because
they don't give a fuck. And you think they care readers, about their reputation or and or money?
And their readers don't give a fuck because they're all, you know, white supremacists. I've been in their comments field. They're dreadful, the Daily Mail readers.
Hey, they're not racist. They're just number one with racists.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things could get dragged out. It's not like they're going to find out that a senior member of the household was leaking information about Meghan and Harry.
Mm.
So anyway, the latest in the case yesterday, the Daily Mail admitted in court that a senior member of the royal household had been... Uh-oh. Ooh, a senior member of the royal household. They didn't say family. That could be anybody.
Really? Who do you think it might have been? William?
Oh. And I think the information was getting back to, like, when the plan was for them to move to Canada. Mm. That was an entirely internal discussion, which suddenly turned up in the Daily Mail.
Mm.
And is that, that's Mulgate that we're talking about.
Yeah.
I believe. Again, don't be judging. I'm also very confused. Please continue to listen. I didn't realise that Jason Knaff was, he was basically tasked with being the handler of Daddy Thomas Markle,
mm.
which obviously turned into a PR disaster. You can't blame him for that. I mean, what was he going to do? Taser him, put him in a box and get him to the church?
Well,
I mean,
and the weird, you know. The weird thing is Thomas Markle goes around saying the royal family owes me. And I think, what do you mean they owe you? What do they owe you for? What have you kept quiet about? What have you not said? What have you done for them?
And believe it or not, this is point three of three. The did they give a copy of the letter to Omid and Carolyn when they were writing Finding Freedom?
Mm.
They say they didn't.
And Omid says they didn't.
And I'm sure that they got... I tell you what, I go in the other room, you read it out loudly, and I'll accidentally overhear it, wink, wink. Just like she never technically talked to them about the book. I'm sure they were never technically given the letter.
No,
but I have no problem believing that Omid and Carolyn were relayed, it had it relayed to them that a letter existed because they referenced in the book that a letter existed.
Omid said under oath in the court case that he got his the information about the letter from the Daily Mail.
Well, then so, what am I talking about?
He said that he read the extracts from the Daily Mail. For
well,
the
then
book.
I'm talking bullshit. So that can't be right.
Well, so yeah, as we had a discussion offline this week, reporters know not to lie under oath, commit perjury, in other words.
Surely anyone would if they were sane.
Because once you lie under oath in court, you the judges, the legal system, the fraternity take that incredibly seriously.
Of course.
You go to jail. You don't get a slap on the back of the hand and a fine. You go to jail. And then you have... Permanently, forever on your record as a journalist, you can't be trusted. So a journalist will say, I am not revealing my sources and go to jail before they lie.
Rather than sacrifice all credibility forever.
And that's what happens. So the possibility, it just, it doesn't happen in the world that people think that journalists lie in court. It just doesn't happen because you're basically ending your career the minute you do that because you will get found out. you will then lose all credibility and no one will hire you, because the minute anybody sees your name on the byline, they go, oh, that's that Joe Bloggs. He lied under oath. We can't believe anything in this story.
Oh, look, I believe him.
Yeah. So, that for me was when I found out that he said that in court and the documents that he said that, it's a very serious thing, and the lawyers make sure you really understand that perjury is something that will ruin your career.
Megan's not happy that they left out the last line of the letter, which was the most conciliatory part in her mind, and made it seem more harsh.
Where did she say she wasn't happy? I know that the Royal, the Daily Mail guy said that out of kindness and respect to Megan, they didn't put the last line in.
Megan's lawyers have claimed that the final sentence in her letter, which the Mail on Sunday chose not to publish, showed that she was seeking a message of peace. I don't understand what that's got, what the contents, what's that got to do with anything?
Mm.
I mean, if the letter was, dear dad, fuck you,
yeah,
it would still be private. So I don't know. I guess the point is that they also sought to unnecessarily paint her in a negative light, which they do all the time. And I have no trouble believing that was their motivation in doing that. Although I would say, if you say to someone, I ask nothing other than peace and I wish the same for you, that sounds like best of luck on future projects.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't let the door hit you in the ass.
Yeah.
So I don't even think that is particularly conciliatory way to end a letter.
Mm.
And a couple of legal conclusions to come to. Number one, I said that in the summary judgment that the judge hears both sides and makes a decision without any jury. That is a bench trial. A summary trial is where what they are asking the judge to do is to make a decision now based on the initial papers and have nobody called to court, and you make the decision now, no trial.
Oh, okay. All right. So
that's what a summary judgment is. So they're actually trying to avoid having anyone brought, they being the Sussexes, have asked the judge to basically say, listen, you just make a decision based on the initial application, just use the correct word. You know what I mean.
Yes.
So that is a difference, because I thought it would mean the trial would go on just for the judge. But actually what they're requesting is no trial.
Yep.
And the point of that is they're saying that if you're confident that you're correct and going to win, you would do this. And this is a serious question. Who the fuck would start a lawsuit they thought they were going to lose? I mean, you either go in believing you're right and going to win, or you're a nuisance and something needs to be done with you.
You're a vexatious litigant.
You're correct. I knew there'd be a term for it.
Yes.
But do you know what I mean? Like when they say, well, if you're really sure you're going to win and that you're correct, I'd go, well, anyone who doesn't feel like that and is starting lawsuits needs to get fucked. So that's not even about them. That was just a question. I'm like, well, who?
Yeah, who would do that otherwise? Yeah.
Who's starting lawsuits as a joke?
Mm.
Unless, I guess it was, as you say, if it was just to fuck with someone. Like,
Remember when they originally started it,
I could launch spurious lawsuits against you simply just to fuck with you, and that's the end game I have in mind, I guess.
When they originally decided to pursue this, it wasn't that kind of summary judgment. It was going to be an actual trial, and the Sussexes petitioned for it to be a summary judgment after the fact. So that could be a manoeuvre to protect the royal family from having to call up, because I think this is why the Daily Mail, they want to extend this out. That's why they're trying to call in witnesses and so forth. With the summary judgment, the judge said that he didn't need to hear from Thomas Markle and that he didn't have to come over, which pissed him off apparently, because he said, he's just got this idea in his head. He's telling people that Meghan is suing him. And he doesn't get that that's not what's going on. He's going, I'm being taken to court by my daughter. And the judge said, well, you don't have to show up. We don't need your evidence. It would be a less messy way to handle things. And if you're still concerned about your family and dragging your family through the media, that could be one suggestion. But, I mean, a lot of this is suggesting that you can know how the Sussexes feel about anything with any degree of accuracy, which I just don't think I can in this instance.
No, but this has been another forum for her father to be a complete dick
through
the lawyers. He's saying, this letter was not an attempt at reconciliation. It was a criticism of me.
Agreed.
Agreed.
But it's not. That's not what's being argued.
No, but I'm
here.
Saying that's why he's still hung up on this.
Mm.
So, The letter didn't say she loved me. It did not even ask how I was. It showed no concern of the fact that I'd had a heart attack. It signified the end of our relationship, not a reconciliation. That's how I read it too. Mm. And more power to her, and I don't blame her. But if you're embarrassed by the letter that you sold to the newspaper, my advice would have been not to have sold it to the newspaper.
Yes.
So he's a fucking knob. We're in serious trouble here because there is just... I'm more confused than ever for a start.
Yeah.
So let's just... Can we just take a break on the trial because I smelled burning toast. I have no idea what just happened.
I don't think we're any the wiser, but...
Are we anywhere near what's going on?
No. And look, I think there is an absolute attempt by the Daily Mail through their lawyers to confuse this as much as possible away from the issues. I think when the dust settles... Because both sides, both the Sussex supporters and the Cambridge derangers, seem to think that all of this indicates that their side, quote-unquote, is winning. And it's like, I don't even know why the Cambridge derangers are getting involved in this because it really doesn't have terribly much to do with them at all. So
if it comes out in this lawsuit that the Cambridges directed, and by which I mean William, obviously, what am I saying Cambridges for?
Yeah.
Directed them to release information about Meghan and Harry to the press because he felt it would be advantageous to him, that's not going to put him in a great light, is it?
Oh, no, it is not.
Because Meghan's very smart. She had to have gamed out all the various scenarios when she started this.
Mm. So...
Is one of them hauling the family out on the tiles and getting everyone to admit what they did?
I don't know. I mean, hard to say. Yeah, it is very hard to say. It's like playing four-dimensional space chess.
Yes.
Trying to guess why anybody does anything is a mystery at the best of times.
I'm so confused I just peed my pants. Let's just move on. Well, I hope that's cleared everything up for you guys.
Stay posted for updates. Listen,
the more I read about this thing, the more confused I got.
I know. It was like a beautiful mind with strings and...
Everybody in this situation, both sides, I say, are all way too obsessed with what people think of them and the press, and they would be better off running their races... And being a bit more boring, and everybody would calm down.
I think that's too late.
In terms of the palace wanting to give people what they want to hear and moulding the narrative, as horrible public relations people say, it's time to talk about the poll.
The poll?
And it was a massive poll.
Mm-hmm.
A Katie Rushworth, claiming to be a journalism student... conducted a survey amongst university students. It was about Meghan, Duchess of Sussex, mainly. Why is that interesting? Because it turns out that Kate works for a PR firm that works for the royal family. In other words, this questionnaire and what they're trying to get answers to has come from the royal family because they're trying to fathom a way forward out of this thing.
Mm.
Have I got that generally correct?
I think that's exactly it.
Why can they not stop fucking things up?
How is this not the most amateur thing that they've done?
How can they not find someone who isn't attached to them to do things like... I understand, of course, they're trying to take people's temperature and work out a way forward. Because I'm confused about what people think.
Have her LinkedIn profile, which said that she works for the royal family in the PR department.
Yeah, that didn't take Sherlock Holmes to put together, did it?
No, the Sussex's squad had that out and within 30 minutes of that questionnaire going out.
I do think it's fairly interesting, though, that they've basically provided us with a list of what they want to know and what they're concerned about. This survey would be fairly telling, would it not?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be fun to, I don't know, complete it right now?
Oh! Let's do it.
Right, the first page is pretty much all PAF. What's your name? Age brackets. Ethnic background.
Yes, why is that interesting or relevant? But anyway, go on, next one.
Well, I'm a racist and I want to weight people's opinions by their colour. Or, of course you like Meghan because you're also black. Or,
yes.
Right? I mean, gender, male, female, other, or prefer not to say.
Okay.
I'm going to go with other. Location, ? Occupation, ? And now the first of the real questions. And there's only a few. This isn't going to go on and on. How do you receive your news? Social media, newspapers, magazines, word of mouth, or other?
Are we other?
What's other? carrier pigeon. I get telegrams from the Prussian consulate. The fuck?
From the 11 a.m. gyrocopter?
Yes. Here we go.
Okay.
Rubber meets the road. What newspapers have you read to satisfy your interest in Meghan Markle? Did they ask us if we have an interest in Meghan Markle, or is that just assumed?
Yes.
Or is that who they're giving the survey to, people who've said they are interested? Well, they said, I don't know what the pool is.
They've sent it out to people saying, if you're interested in Meghan Markle, tell us why you are.
Well, then it makes more sense. What newspapers? And that's a box. And then they have a list of ticks boxes saying, have you read The Sun, The Mirror, Daily Mail, Daily Express, The Times, Guardian, New York Post, New York Daily News, USA Today, Washington Post, New York Times? I wondered why they would put so many American sources in there, but then a lot of the Sussex squad, the heat they are receiving, isn't from English people.
No.
I don't want to say the phrase angry black people because that sounds really bad, but a lot of them are African American fans of the Duchess, correct? That's
right, absolutely.
And bless them, I'm not, but I'm saying that's obviously why they are also saying, but what about the, because they have to somehow hijack the American narrative if they're to fix their narrative, which is an entirely different world. Yeah. They can bully the Sun and the Mirror.
Yes.
How are they going to shut up the New York Times? Which social media platforms do you use to satisfy your interest in Meghan Markle? Ew.
Satisfy your interest is such a weird question, isn't it?
Would you like to talk about Meghan Markle? Call 0011.
We'll satisfy your interest.
So, how you enjoy being a duchess. Which social media platforms do you use to satisfy your interest? Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, none, or other? I don't know. A lot of people are making TikToks about Meghan, but nobody's got no social media platforms, and I'm trying to think what other there would be.
Parler?
Oh, yeah, if you're on that conservative, I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine the tenor of conversations about her on there.
My goodness.
How often do you post to a Meghan Markle fan page? Daily, weekly, monthly, never or
What's
other?
What's a Meghan Markle fan page?
I guess Facebook pages that are sympathetic to her.
It's bizarre wording, but anyway.
I guess, I mean, that would include pro websites and any web activity that isn't just posting on social media, I guess. What sort of media do you post? News from various media sources? Opinionated posts? Sourced or own created images, videos, or other? I mean, I guess most people are referencing a news story online when they're commenting to friends or they're just, I mean, a lot on Twitter is just back and forth reaction to something. Half the time I read those comments, I'm like, now I have to back up and find out what the friend we're even talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
When did you start taking an interest in Meghan Markle and or following her on social media?
Well, Suits, when she set up her Instagram, the Tig.
You were a fan of hers then?
No, but someone I live with was. Very much so.
Okay.
Mm.
What interested you to initially become interested in Meghan Markle?
I think, look, to be honest, it was around about the time the engagement was announced because I thought, oh, wedding, there'll be silly hats and the York sisters won't disappoint us with their frivolous fashions.
Describe how your interest has developed since. For example, would you describe yourself as a devoted fan or have you become lukewarm to her?
That is such a bizarre question to ask in a survey, isn't it?
Yes. In other words, is she winning or is she losing in terms of her current fandom rate?
Yeah. It's not very nuanced, is it, this questionnaire? For someone who claims to be in PR or media.
And I think we're fairly safe to say you haven't gone lukewarm on her.
No, I certainly have gone lukewarm on most of the media, though.
How did you react to Markle becoming part of the royal family?
Oh, so they can't even use her name, first name now?
Yes. That is interesting.
Mm.
How did I react? I shit, my head exploded.
Yes. It's like,
oh, with Markle and Harry's divorce from the royal family.
What?
How have you reacted to that?
I'm more pissed off about the survey than I am. Jesus. They're not even using the correct terminology.
And ending with, would you be prepared to participate in an informal one-on-one hour-long interview via video link? If yes, please provide your contact details below. And luckily enough,
never,
I did.
Never, going to happen.
Well, that might not be true because I provided them your details.
Oh, you bastard.
So it'll be very interesting to see if that happens.
Can you imagine? I'm going to be on every hate list in the world now. Amateur hour. As you said, well, as I said, shaved monkey brigade.
There is so much here. We're going to have to hold stuff over till next week, right?
I think
we have to go to the news because I've got a page where every bullet point here is just, it's blowing my mind.
All right, let's go.
All right.
Are you going to do your news theme?
Of course.
Okay, do it.
Well, you built it up too much now. It's got to be a surprise every time. You can't just do it in the middle of... It's news. All right. The Express. Meghan Markle's sister Samantha hits back at one-star reviews of new book before it's even released.
Is this book ever coming?
Yes, apparently so. And this is a thing, and not with Samantha, obviously, that's funny, but in general... People one-star reviewing a movie that no one's seen yet, based on the fact that it sounds like I won't like it.
And it's interesting because I went to check out the website where these one-star things were happening, and they'd all been cleared out, but they'd left all the five-star reviews for a book that still hasn't happened. So if you're going to clear the one-stars, why aren't you clearing the five-stars?
I was interested in, maybe it was Rotten Tomatoes or somewhere, they were discussing some sort of validation where to review a movie... You needed the ticket stub or some way to prove that you'd actually seen the movie and that you weren't just a bot or whatever.
Yeah, fair enough, because
you need to take care of other studios and people who are plotting against you. They want to have a higher score than you on a movie opening that week. Yes. I'm going to vote down Wonder Woman because women should be in the kitchen, not out wandering people. Like, you know, there are maniacs who just decide, well, not a black Ghostbuster, one star, and you're like, the movie's coming out in 3 months' time, sir. Yeah. You already hate it?
Yeah. Well, I was concerned with the Clever Blends products that people were going to give them bad reviews, but they have a review system which is a verified buyer. So they publish your name, your full name, as a buyer. So if you try to say you've bought the product, that you won't actually be able to give it a half a star rating and say this was terrible because you actually have to be a verified buyer and they send you a link.
Yeah, so I don't believe in doing that at all except in this very specific case of Samantha Markle.
Other daughter, as she was referred to in Meghan's letter.
Hardly know her?
Barely know her. Hasn't seen her since 2008.
Meghan's estranged half-sister told Newsweek, Barnes & Noble will be scrubbing nasty troll remarks in a couple of days because they know that they are not credible. And that the book isn't out yet.
That was much less drunk than Samantha Markle actually is.
I'm trying to be kind.
Okay.
And negative reviews included comments like, I'm sure it's full of distorted fantasies by the author. Why won't this spoiled brat shut up? And fuck this C word. So people are excited about the book. At least there's
Can I just say, emotions. I didn't put the one-star review that said, fuck this C word. I did not do that.
Well, it sounds like your online style.
I know, it does sound like my online style.
And now you're protesting too much.
Yes.
Samantha's bombshell book, do we have to read it?
No.
Someone will give whatever alleged highlights, won't they?
Maybe we can just get the people who have bought the book to send us each a chapter and we can have a look at it without paying for it.
Released on February 1, Meghan's half-sister has promised that the memoir will tell the good, the bad and the ugly. But Samantha, who has been a vocal critic of Meghan and was not invited to her and Prince Harry's royal wedding, insisted the book has not been written to attack her half-sibling.
Can you imagine, though, if she had gone to the wedding, how much every member in the...
Oh, she would have made a shit of herself.
Yeah. She would have been on William, like, you know, a limpet onto a rock. She would have been trying to get everyone's phone numbers.
Clanging a wheelchair into everyone.
Yeah. Like, it would not have been good.
Why don't we just never mention her again? Why don't we just pretend she doesn't exist?
We can call her Todd. That's what they do on the internet.
No, I just don't even want to acknowledge her existence.
All right.
Let's just move on with our lives, can we?
Yes.
Yahoo Lifestyle.
Yes.
Meghan sick to her stomach over Samantha Markle book. Oh, fuckballs. Meghan Markle is reportedly feeling sick to her stomach on the blah, blah, blah. Titled, The Diary of Princess Pushy's Sister. That's the name of the fucking book? That would, even if that was a fair criticism, that's a fucking terrible title. This fucking bitch. 56-year-old Samantha Markle, whom Meghan is not believed to have had any contact for nearly 10 years, promises to spill a plethora of secrets about the Duchess of Sussex's early life in the book. She picked up a dog's hind legs and walked it around like a wheelbarrow. Like, what did she do?
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous. An insider told In Touch magazine, no they didn't, that Meghan is furious about the release of the book, but she won't act bothered or upset about it in public.
Oh, in other words, you can't disprove that we spoke to somebody in the royal household.
This source also said that Prince Harry is totally supporting Meghan and this is... really?
That was In Touch magazine?
It goes on, but you get... That was Yahoo Lifestyle...
Oh, God.
...quoting an insider who spoke to In Touch magazine. Listen, I didn't want to tell you.
Yeah.
But Wendy told Jenny and Jenny told Becky and Becky said to Vicky and Vicky said that she said that Wendy said that you're a slut. Well, that's the credibility of this story.
Wendy would know, you dirty bitch.
Well, we all know. Come on. Oh, let's calm down with a silly story. Prince Harry, quote unquote, spotted next to friend Joe Biden on Inauguration Day.
Oh, yes.
What are we referring to? Prince Harry was spotted by eagle-eyed royal fans on the day of Joe Biden's inauguration. For there was a huge, and it is a huge, photo of the Duke of Sussex, taken on his 2013 visit to America, on the background as Mr. Biden chatted to the Clintons at Arlington National Cemetery. The picture shows Harry dressed in military uniform, placing a wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier. Royal expert, Omid Scobie.
I thought you were going to say power bottom again.
No, 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 I'm not going to make any more fun of Omid.
Okay.
I think that he's very brave to be out and about when he's clearly been stung by a whole bunch of bees. And this is, and I am going to target this, and this isn't even a joke, but I'm talking to male-presenting queers who are young. Stop doing things to your face!
Yes. For God's sake.
There's nothing wrong with your face. At least there wasn't. Before you puffed it out like Omid has, he looks like he's eaten bad crawfish.
Are we sure he hasn't?
His original face couldn't possibly be that bad. There's nothing wrong with your face. This is a dysmorphia that's going on. And boys, you're going to have to calm down.
Leave your fucking faces alone.
There's nothing wrong with it. When you need to have work done on your face, believe you me, you're going to fucking know it. And it isn't when you're 22. And it isn't when you're like Omid and...
42?
70? Who knows? But it is my point. Like, he's someone who is obviously not grossly unattractive and is 30-something years old. He looks like an old guy doing well, trying to look young. He's younger than that. Leave your faces alone, guys. Yes. This is all I'm saying. What happened? Again, completely jackknifed off into the side of the road. Oh, Omid's saying on Twitter, a blink and you'll miss it cameo by a royal at President Biden's Inauguration Day at Arlington Cemetery. Well, kinda. A lot of people on Twitter then saying, oh, how come they can celebrate Harry and the royal family don't, blah, blah, blah.
I was one of them.
His photo is up there at Arlington Ceremony because he was there as Captain General of the Marines, representing the army, a role that he is too good for, too busy for, or whatever it is, he couldn't be bothered doing it anymore.
Listen, bitch, if you want to look like Omid, I'm going to reach across these microphones and slap the snot out of you.
His picture is up there as he was there as a representative of the United Kingdom, not because Prince Harry's so great. If they'd sent over a balloon on a stick, they would have taken a photo of it.
Take that back, or you're going to end up with a face like Omid's. Don't think I won't come over there and smack you.
Well, in my case, that might be that might be an improvement. Let's give it a go.
This 1.5-metre social distancing thing is going to be over in a minute, bitch.
The Express.
Oh, this will be a joy.
Queen snub. Sarah Ferguson risks royal fury as Netflix bids to use home monarch bought her. So the point here is that Sarah and Prince Andrew's spectacular marital home, which was bought for them by the Queen as a wedding present, could end up on a Netflix show.
She doesn't own that show, that property. Sarah Ferguson doesn't own that property. She divorced What's-His-Face, and she didn't get any property in the settlement.
Well, apparently they talked to Fergie about using the place where she does still occasionally live, Sunninghill Park, which is their private home, so they could do that, for it to be featured on the net. On the hit Netflix show, Bridgerton.
Oh, awesome! Yay!
And I say, of course Fergie wouldn't do that.
No, but...
after what Netflix has done to the royal family, what sick degenerate would accept money from them having humiliated their family like... Nobody would do that.
She did do that, didn't she?
No, she did not.
Oh.
Your mate Harry and Meghan did, taking $100 million from them.
Oh.
Whilst they go on to humiliate and berate the family, humiliate his mother, whose likeness he's happy to bandy about whenever it suits him.
So the fact that William tried to sell his documentary to Netflix is out.
Selling him a documentary to convey to the people is different to accepting $100 million from people who are humiliating the memory of your mother.
How are they doing that? They're humiliating them the way that the royal family treated his mother.
Coming up in 2021 on Netflix, Princess Diana the Musical, a Netflix production. That's not humiliating her memory.
He is not a content creator.
No, that's for fucking sure. That's why Netflix is going to be asking for their money back. And finally.
Oh, Lordy, go on.
The Express. Princess Eugenie baby names, favourite odds at etc. etc.
Hasn't she had that baby yet?
No, no, any time now. Last we saw her, she was, and I would be like, guys, do we need to use the phrase heavily pregnant?
Okay.
I'm just pregnant, okay?
Yeah,
give me a break here.
Yeah.
Princess Eugenie and Jack Brooksbank may stick to a traditional name. The baby's gender is yet to be revealed, but we know from the bookies, odds of 8-1 are the best for Alice and Arthur. Alice, I like.
Yeah.
Arthur's fine. Whilst names that are at 14-1 are Augusta.
No. You.
Thomas, yes.
Yeah.
Alexandra,
yes,
not bad.
Yeah.
10-1 we have Godfrey.
Ooh.
Grace.
I like Grace.
They can't name a child Henry. I think there's an unspoken rule that we're now not naming people after people who are alive, so we don't end up with 400 people all named Albert Victor, because it just gets too ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I don't think Henry will be happening. Or Charles or Edward. Basically every other name is the name of a person who's alive.
Mm.
So I don't think that's going to happen. Some outliers. Oh, they've got Diana at 20-1.
Well, Diana is...
I don't think that they would take
Charlotte's
it upon themselves.
Middle name. Isn't she Charlotte Diana Elizabeth, or is she Charlotte Elizabeth?
It's definitely
Diana.
One of those, yeah. 100-1, Camilla. 200-1, Boris.
Could you imagine? Should we put a bet on that?
Couldn't have. Boris Brooksbank? Not good.
River?
That's...
the Doctor Who tribute.
River Brooksbank?
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Katie.
Goodbye, Katie. I need to go and see you again.
Thank you for listening to the Royal Gossip Podcast. Please subscribe via Google Podcasts, Spotify or iTunes. You can also leave us a good review or rating on iTunes. You can follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Royal Goss Pod. And for all the pictures we post and merchandise offers and other stuff, follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/royalgosspod. The podcast is a satire for entertainment purposes only and may cause anal leakage.